Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And we are going to continue looking forward to the new year. But before we move in that direction, I want to remind you that on my website, you'll find all kinds of free resources which you can download to your own devices and use for your own study, for your own ministry, for whatever you choose. And just recently, I just added over 200 more sermon helps. And these are brief outlines, sketches of messages that you can download and modify and make it your own. And that's key. You should make it your own. But in any case, all of these things are available and they're free at www.pastorvic.com. Anyway, let's move on with the message that I believe the Lord has given me. And it has to do with disappointment and discouragement. But let's begin with the Apostle Paul. As you know, the Apostle Paul suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. And yet he never lost his focus on his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. He determined in his heart not to allow the circumstances of life to define who he was and his relationship with the Lord. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 12. And he says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected or completed, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That upward call is the perfect plan of God for your life. Paul recognized that at times life would be difficult, but he decided beforehand that whatever difficulties he faced, he would not waver from his commitment to the Lord. I love what Paul said also in 2 Corinthians beginning chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, of course, the treasure that's spoken of in the previous verse is the treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is such a treasure. There's nothing more valuable than the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And not only the knowledge of him, but that he knows you. Now, it also mentions earthen vessels. Well, we're the earthen vessels. We're ordinary. We may be imperfect. We're not perfectly shaped and rounded. But nevertheless, we are the pots, the crack pots, some would say, that the creator of the universe has decided to live in us. Therefore, because he lives in us, nothing is impossible with God. And by extension, that means nothing is impossible for you and for me if we allow ourselves to be led by the Lord. Now, we may indeed go through hard times. That's what the Apostle Paul means when he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. At times we've been perplexed, because we didn't know what God or how God was going to perform what he had promised. But by faith, we trust and believe. Therefore, we'll not become discouraged. In extreme cases, we may be knocked down, but we are not knocked out. In those extreme cases, we will choose to rise and not waver in our faith in Jesus. Amen? The one who has redeemed us and will deliver us. Remember, Jesus is the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and the anchor of our souls. What we need to recognize in life is that there's a spiritual battle going on. The Apostle Paul was aware of the enemy of his soul, Satan, as each one of us needs to be as well. Even Jesus makes it clear that we have an enemy. In John chapter 10, a very wonderful chapter, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd who comes to give life and life more abundantly. But at the same time, in the same chapter, he describes the thief. And of course, the thief in this case is Satan. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. You see, Satan comes to steal your joy, kills God's vision for your life, and destroy your hope in him. The strategy of the enemy is to undermine your faith in Jesus Christ. Remember the shield of faith in Ephesians. That's your protection against the devil. Satan wants to create doubt about what the Lord has promised, because he's used the same strategy, the same tactic in the Garden of Eden when he tempted Adam and Eve. That's Genesis chapter 3. Our salvation and every other promise in the Bible is appropriated. It's received by faith. Every promise was provided to us because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Our faith is not in the promises, but in the one who made the promises, Jesus. In other words, our faith is not in faith itself, but our faith is in him. The writer of Hebrews defines faith for us. And in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things not seen, that means it's spiritual. But faith is the substance of things hoped. What can we hope for? We can hope for the promises of God that we find in the Bible. Hope in God's promises is central to receiving from the Lord. Anything that undermines that hope is an attempt by the enemy to try and cause us to doubt the Lord and to try and shatter our faith. Faith in Jesus is essential. It says so in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The book of James tells us that no one should expect anything from the Lord if they waver in faith and are shifted back and forth and wallow in doubt. Now, these facts alone should make you aware of how Satan will try to undermine you. He will try to attack you in the area of your faith in the Lord. This is Satan's strategy. And he uses two emotions, if you will, to do that: disappointment and discouragement. Disappointment, let me define that, is the feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hope or expectation. We all have expectations, we all have hopes, and when they don't come to pass, we are disappointed. But discouragement is deeper than that. Discouragement is the feeling of the loss of confidence or enthusiasm. It causes us to lose hope. Remember, faith is based upon hope on the promises of God. But discouragement causes us to lose that hope. Now let's take a look at each one of these. Disappointment. Listen, every day we're plagued and challenged to face obstacles and issues at work, in our finances, in our health, raising children, in our relationships, in marriage, or even controlling our minds and the negative thought patterns that we sometimes have. Everyone is susceptible at times to disappointment. Maybe a friend betrays you. Perhaps you're disappointed with the job that you have right now. It could be that someone has walked out of your life, or a loved one may have disappointed you by sabotaging your expectations. Or maybe even some of your finest long-term dreams may have come crashing down to end up and look like it's ending in nothing. Listen, while everyone experiences disappointment in life, it's important to realize that disappointment is an emotion and that emotions do not define you. Emotions, it's a feeling, and feelings come and feelings go. The danger is not to recognize that the enemy of your soul is a liar, and he wants to drag you down to the next level, and that downward spiral will lead you to the area of discouragement. Remember, discouragement means you're losing hope, and you're beginning to not trust in the Lord. Discouragement is a choice that we make. It's how we respond to disappointments. It's in that battlefield of the mind that we have to be aware that we're making these choices, and sometimes we're not aware of it. Now, if we're feeling discouraged, then it means that we have subconsciously or unconsciously decided to blame our disappointment on our circumstances, and we wallow in pity and negativity. Remember, it's a choice, a deliberate choice. We can either choose to cave in and have a pity party by being discouraged, or we can consciously, deliberately decide to shake that off and turn that disappointment around so that we are looking toward the Lord with joy and expectation. The bottom line is that we cannot do away with disappointments in life. However, we can shake off the negativity that comes with discouragement. We can shake off that self-pity and worry and all the other accompanying disappointments that can afflict the human mind. As the Lord said to Joshua when he took over the leadership from Moses, be strong and courageous. He says that three times in the first chapter. Another way of saying it might be strong and don't be discouraged. Joshua maintained his courage by following hard after the Lord. Now, discouragement differs from disappointment. When our expectations aren't met, we feel disappointed, natural. Whereas discouragement produces a feeling of hopelessness. We can choose to remain without courage, that's what discourage means, or determine to work through our feelings and overcome them. Remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but taking action despite the fear. Now, there are a whole variety of reasons or we can fall into discouragement. You know, one is just simply our inability to please someone else. We become discouraged when we can't please them. On the other end, we may be experiencing physical or verbal abuse. That can cause discouragement. Our unanswered prayers, if we're not careful, can cause us to become discouraged. There are strongholds in our minds that we need to overcome and tear down, or else we'll find ourselves becoming discouraged. Financial pressures, health pressures, unexplained attacks by our adversaries, even feelings of worthlessness. All of these things contribute to making you feel discouraged. And remember, they are lies from Satan. He is the accuser, and he's the opposer of God's people. Fear, unbelief, bitterness, self-pity, and condemnation are all based on Satan's lies. Now again, it's important to recognize that the battle is spiritual. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 4, it says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. I encourage you to read that section of scripture. That clearly tells us that the battle is spiritual. Another area we need to be aware of is not recognizing our own weaknesses. And then when we don't recognize our own weakness, it's then difficult for us to call upon the Lord for his help. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, or beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul was recognizing that he had shortcomings. He had areas of his life where he needed the help of the Lord. And he relied on the Lord. He didn't try to make it on his own. He didn't lean on his own understanding, but he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 14. And I encourage you to read this section of scripture, 14 through 18. It's so important that we put on the full armor of God. If we neglect one area, it's possible that that's the direction that the enemy will attack us. The full armor of God, it all boils down to one thing, neglecting his word. You're essentially putting the shield of faith down, because the word is clear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get the rhema and the logos word. When we lose sight of God's ways or God's resources in Christ, we remove our spiritual protection. We neglect the sword of the Spirit. When we are not reminded of his promises, we easily forget the truth and fall for the devil's lies. And so that's why it's important for us to be in the word, constantly reminding ourselves of the truth. Because remember, it's the truth that will set us free. There's a cure for discouragement. And one is to recognize your own pride in that your inability or your lack of desire to ask the Lord for help. See, some people put their trust in their own selves, and they pursue relationships and accomplishments or possessions instead of a relationship with the Lord. And the Lord would tell you to look within yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit, why am I discouraged if you are discouraged? Then look back, but don't dwell on the hurtful things in the past. Instead, think about God's faithfulness to deliver you from in the past. Because if he's faithful in the past, he'll be faithful in the present. And then make sure you look up. God has the authority, the power, and the ability to rescue from harmful attitudes. And finally, you need to look ahead. Focus on what the Lord is doing now in your life. Be encouraged by what he has planned for your future. There are a great many biblical examples of discouragement in the Bible. Rachel, Isaac's wife, could not have children. One day she burst into her husband and said, "Isaac, give me children or else I die." That's Genesis chapter 30, beginning in verse 1. Rachel's discouragement came from her disappointment in a situation she had no power over. Instead of trusting in God, instead she blamed her husband. Remember when the 40 thieves went out to spy out the land? And then they came back with the negative report. The Israelites heard the report that the Canaanites were giants and they lived in fortified cities. And the people raised up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. That's Numbers 14, beginning in verse 1. Their discouragement came from comparing a difficult situation to their own resources instead of God's resources. When the Israelites traveled in the wilderness for those 40 years, the Bible says the soul of the people were much discouraged because of the way they were going. Numbers 21, verse 4. In this case, they were discouraged because they focused so much on their difficulties that they lost sight of God's promises and his provision. Even such a great prophet as Elijah, after his amazing victory with the prophets of Baal, he fell into discouragement when Jezebel threatened his life. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And then it says, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. That story is in 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 19. The problem was that Elijah was physically and emotionally exhausted. And as a result, he took his eyes off the Lord, and he put his eyes on the enemy. And because he lost his focus, he began to imagine what the enemy would do and had forgotten how great his God was. And then finally, the last story I want to talk about is the story of David when he was being pursued by Saul. You may recall in 1 Samuel chapter 30, he went to an area known as Ziklag, and he went there with his mighty men of valor, and all of their families came with him, women and children, and they were camped there at Ziklag. And then when the men went out foraging, the Amalekites came, attacked the village, took all the women and children and all the possessions and burned everything else. When the men came back, David came back, they were more than disappointed. They were discouraged. And David's lowest point came when he experienced the rejection and the misunderstanding from all the men that he loved. And we have the good news that he didn't just yield to discouragement. He's an example to us because it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And following the Lord's instruction, David and his men were able to pursue the Amalekites, destroy them, restore all of their families and all of their possessions. All because he would not allow himself to fall into discouragement, but he pursued his God. In conclusion, all of us experience disappointment when things don't go the way we expect or want. The danger is in falling into discouragement for any length of time. It's in those moments of discouragement that we need to place our focus on Jesus, our Savior and Deliverer. His promise is that He will never leave you nor forsake you. You are never alone because He is with you through every circumstance and situation. God desires good things for you, but it must be done His way. And so I just want to encourage you this day that you would be blessed by this message and that you would take a hold of your own destiny that God has provided for you and you would keep your focus upon Him. May the Lord richly bless you. May the Lord richly bless your families. And if you're in the ministry, Lord, then He would bless your ministry as well. So until the next time, I look forward to seeing you. In Jesus' name, amen.